It's well known that that perspective projection is a useful visual cue so that you can comprehend 3D shape of a scene that you're looking at. It has not been well studied whether realistic, physically based illumination provides a similar perceptual benefit. That's what this talk is about. We're motivated by visualizing brain data, which you can see an example of in this slide. These are some diffusion tensor glyphs of the interior of the brain. This is from diffusion MRI. These glyphs were provided courtesy Gordon Kendelman. And here's the same scene illuminated with physically based illumination. Here's a more complicated scene showing more geometric structures in the brain. Vasculature is seen in red. There's a tumor in purple. Here's the very same geometry illuminated with physically based illumination. So we showed pairs of images like these to colleagues at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and got comments like the following, that the physically based illumination made the image look better or that it would look more real, but it was too slow to render in real time. Can you do it on a GPU? Chuck Hansen asked a question when I showed images like these at the VMLS conference. Does it make a difference? That is, if you show these images that are globally illuminated instead of locally illuminated, does it make a difference in your perception or in the task you might want to perform? When you look at these scenes, does the illumination make a difference? And in a search of the literature, it turns out that opposing positions are supported on whether or not physically based illumination makes a difference for perception.
For instance, shadows have been found to not statistically significantly affect perception for a handful of tasks, for rapid visual search of targets where targets and distractors where the target is different from the distractors by some shadow property. Both Sinha and Jacobson found that people weren't able to do this rapidly. Bonfiglioli found that if you could somehow produce non-physical shadows of real objects and ask that participants identify the object, there was no response time effect in their ability to name the object properly. On the other hand, he found that there were perceptual cues in papers by Elder, which was a very similar sort of rapid visual search type task. They vary the shadow properties of some objects and ask them to find a particular target. They could do so rapidly. Castiello found that, okay, object identification, there is actually some difference in response time depending on whether the shadows are physical or non-physical. And in the same paper that Bonfiglioli found that object identification was not affected, he found that actually reaching for these real objects that were contrived to have non-physical shadows is affected by the shadow. At the last moment, the participant hesitates to grasp the object. Inner reflection, another phenomenological effect of physically based or global illumination, was not recommended in Ware's text information visualization for display of surfaces for reasons of clarity. You can imagine that color bleeding or luminance bleeding due to inner reflection could be confusing in some cases. On the other hand, Madison found that inner reflection, in fact, is a pretty good perceptual cue for understanding surfaces in contact. Inside that circle there, as I switch to show the image with inner reflection, it's subtle, but you get an impression that indeed these are objects potentially in contact.
So the hypothesis we wanted to explore is that that physically based illumination improves perception of a scene compared to local illumination. So what do these terms mean, physically based and local? And what do we mean by improved? Improved how and for what kinds of tasks? So definition of terms by physically based illumination. I'm talking about a numerical solver for the light transport equation. The equation looks something like this. On the left, there is a radiance term for extant radiance. On the right, there's a sum of two pieces, the emitted radiance and an integral of a scattering kernel multiplied by the incident radiance integrated over a hemisphere or over a sphere. So here is the governing equation that's being evaluated for a physically based illumination sort of solver. And by comparison, local illumination has been the de facto standard for visualization tools for some time. It is characterized as being an algorithm as opposed to being a numerical solver, an algorithm, for example, like OpenGL implements. However, it's worth noting that even local illumination can be sort of understood as solving an equation that can be reverse engineered from this implementation. So the kinds of things that you might expect to be important for a 3D visualization tool used by surgeons or radiologists to examine white matter fiber tracks derived from diffusion MRI are things like the following. You might expect, at the very least, that an appropriate 3D visualization tool would provide the basics for the visual system, such as being able to allow you to determine which fiber is closer than which. So if you're considering two fibers and you want to know if one of them is nearer to you in the Z direction, that seems like a reasonable thing to expect from a visualization tool. So here are a bunch of fibers. I'm pointing at a couple of them, locally illuminated, and here's the same scene, globally illuminated. And you can imagine being asked which of the fibers being pointed to is closer to you, and would it make a difference if it were being illuminated with global illumination? Another kind of task that you would like to be able to support with a visualization tool in a surgical setting, in a clinical setting, relates to the structure of the white matter of the brain. So you can think of the brain as having this geometric hierarchy where at the root node there's a brain and then it has several children nodes. You can decompose the brain into bundles, and then each bundle has many children. Each bundle is composed of many fibers. So we can certainly tell right away that there's a brain composed out of all these fibers. We can see the fibers. But the in-between structure of the bundles might be somewhat less clear and can be clinically important. So it would be nice if that were evident, and perhaps global illumination helps you see those bundles. In many visualization contexts, it's the case that as you increase your sampling density, you can better see the thing being sampled. And so we wonder if this is true for looking at white matter fiber tracks. Namely, as you add more and more and more of these fibers, does that somehow improve your perception of the structure of the scene? So we hypothesize that sampling density of fibers does improve your visual comprehension if you are using physically based illumination. So we have these two tasks in mind that will indicate whether 3D spatial perception of fibers is improved by physically based illumination. Task number one, depth discrimination, where users are presented with a scene composed of fibers and ask the question, which one's closer of two selected fibers. And second, aggregation, given a whole bunch of fibers that form some sort of shape, some sort of bundle, what does a bundle look like? What is the shape of the bundle that's filled up with all these fibers? Our hypothesis is that the users will answer these questions more accurately if they are presented with the images under physically based lighting conditions and with local illumination, and that with physically based illumination, increasing the density will be good. It will improve your perception.
So I'm going to talk about our user study experiments and their results. So in general, across the two studies that we do, obviously from our hypothesis, we're going to look at local versus physically based illumination. We're also, as a benchmark, going to look at projection, orthographic projection versus perspective projection. Perspective is a known 3D scene layout cue. And orthographic projection is not an uncommon choice in visualization, especially in medical visualization if you want to rapidly measure sizes of lesions or other structures. The data that we're going to use is going to are going to be more general stream tubes, not specifically diffusion tensor imaging. Our participant pool, they were non-experts in brain anatomy. And then finally, we're going to vary density in the aggregation study, but in our first study, depth discrimination, we're going to keep density low so that the individual fibers are more clear. So for this first study, depth discrimination, we'll have, well, the task will be, here's a field of tubes. We've highlighted two, one red, one green. Which one's closer to you in depth? And then we take our four conditions, the two illuminations, physically based on the left, local on the right, orthographic on top, and perspective projection on the bottom, and present these randomly to subjects. Now, these are all images of the same data set, so in all cases, the green tube is the closer. We have 16 of these scenes with different disparities between the in depth between the red and the green tubes. We swap coloring and present the same data twice. And, of course, our four conditions, orthographic perspective, physically based illumination, and local illumination. So in total, we have 128 stimuli per participant, so we have about 640 data points to do our analysis with. And the first result we get from our analysis looks like this. These are the main effects of the two variables we care about most, illumination model and projection model. As you recall, these are picked between red or green, so we're talking about two forced choices. So here we go. This will work better. So we have 0 to 100% accuracy overall. Here's a little mark to remind you where chance is. So in this case, everybody's performing above chance. The error bars here are 95% confidence intervals. And what we see most about this display is that perspective projection for this task gives you an effect size, or projection gives you an effect size of about 20%, a little bit under. Illumination is about half that, around 10%, but still a statistically significant difference. When we look at the interactions, we see that our worst performer, which is, again, not an entirely uncommon choice in medical visualization, is orthographic projection and local illumination. And our best performer is perspective projection and global illumination. This coloring comes from doing a two-key Onsley separable differences. So if the bars have this share a common color, they weren't differentiable statistically. So then that brings us to just a little thing I want to focus on, which is, for this particular task, with these conditions, if you take perspective as a given and ask people to evaluate which of some tubes are closer to them, it's easier to do if you add global illumination on top of perspective. When we look at how participants performed as we vary this distance, the disparity between how much closer one tube is than the other, close on the left we have tubes that aren't any difference in depth, and at the far end, the furthest tube is much, much further away than the close tube. We see that for local and ortho, we see no statistical difference in performance across the whole range of disparities. It's not necessarily surprising, but this is the kind of thing that you would want a visualization to be able to do. You would expect, as the tubes vary more and more and more in distance, you'd get better and better at this task. Doesn't happen for this condition. Does happen once you switch to global illumination. Happens even stronger when you switch to perspective projection instead. And again, if you combine the two, it happens stronger and more rapidly. So for the depth discrimination of stream tubes, this is improved with physically based illumination. The effect size compared to perspective of illumination is roughly half. And the best task performance we found for this task was the combination of physically based illumination and perspective. So our second task then was one of shape discrimination. Now we had, as I said earlier, non-expert users, so we didn't want to show them fascicles of the brain and ask them to identify the shapes. So we took simple solid objects and we filled them with tubes, like so, and asked them, we're showing you this object, the scene of tubes, what's the solid shape that this most nearly represents? And looking at this image, going back and forth between the two, you may think, well, it's really kind of a giveaway, right? It's this thick bundle of tubes is just kind of mimicking the shading of the solid object. And so we vary densities. And at the lowest density, there's none of this facet-like shading. The other thing to note is that these are all the orthographic projection versions. They have the same silhouette. So we go into this knowing that orthographic projection is going to perform poorly by itself. So we have our three shapes. We have our five densities, four replications of each using different random seedings of tubes, our four display conditions from before. In total, we have about 3,000 data points. And this time, the first thing we see is that illumination, the effect size, is on par with that of perspective projection for this task. This time, the chance has moved down to 33% because there's the three solid objects to pick from. And when we look at the interaction, again, we get the same ordering. Local illumination, orthographic projection together provide for the worst performance, which again is not an entirely uncommon choice. Global illumination and perspective projection provide for the best performance. This time, however, the Tukey analysis tells us that the big win happens under orthographic projection, and switching between local and global illumination. And when we look at how density actually interacts with these, interacts with illumination, we see that local illumination, there's no difference as we change densities. Increase the sampling rate, and people's performance does not improve in the ability to recognize these solid objects. But for physically based global illumination, the improvement is there. So to summarize this study, under local illumination, the 3D shape of these aggregate forms is not well perceived, and increasing sampling density doesn't have a statistical effect on performance. However, they're overall better perceived under physically based global illumination, and performance does improve with increasing sampling density. So we go back to our original hypothesis that the 3D spatial perception of fibers is going to somehow be improved by physically based illumination. We said, we'd like to see depth discrimination improve. And we were able to show that. You'd like to see this ability to recognize aggregate forms improve, and we were able to show that. And you'd like to see that fiber density has an impact, or you would expect that that would be the case, under physically based global illumination, and we were able to show that. So our overall finding is that there is an improvement to be had from physically based global illumination. And the impact of this for others is that if you have fiber-like objects that you're trying to visualize and you want better understanding for your end users, say if you have data of these sorts, then you might want to consider using global illumination. And we'd like to thank our funding agencies, the colleagues at Harvard Medical and Brigham and Women's, students who provided tools, and others who have given us fruitful discussion. Thank you. No, we didn't vary the parameters of the perspective projection. It's certainly an interesting thing to do. It's one of these, you know, things start to explode in terms of how many things we have to compare. But yeah, there are many parameters that we could potentially play with, though you would expect will have impact on how exactly people perceive depth, for instance, would be changing the parameters of perspective, changing where exactly the lights are. There's many things that could be done like that. Well, future work.
So the roof that you get from physical-based illumination, would you say that is mainly due to the shadows that you have, or did you kind of have a more subtle investigation of that?
You want to? Okay. This is where I get to share my manifesto. We have, I think, traditionally in visualization world thought of these sort of phenomenological effects of correct lighting as individual attributes that might be added one at a time. Maybe you add a shadow, then you add an inner reflection, and you add a highlight. So the photons that stream don't walk around and say, shall I participate in a shadow or not? They just do what they do. So instead of thinking about the individual sort of phenomenological attributes one at a time, we just wanted to push that way of thinking aside for a second and say, you know, in many areas of science, you begin with a governing equation, and then you might tinker with it instead of asking what are the various implications of that equation and dealing with them one at a time. So we just put two contenders in the ring and let them duke it out. So contender number one, local illumination that's, you know, there for every machine. Contender number two, sort of the gold standard. We used photon mapping as our implementation, but just a sort of a vanilla solver for the governing equation from physics, and just let these two go at it. So it's an interesting sort of perceptual question. What would happen if you carve up all these effects and let them all interact? And we just shied away from that. So an appropriate kind of question and one that we just stepped back from.
Hi. Very illuminating talk. One thing that sort of counterpoint to what you were saying, if you remember Margaret Livingstone's talk, vision really is a local process, at least at the beginning stages, and it sort of aggregates out to a global kind of perception of our conception. But so here's the question I have. This, for sure. So now my question is, okay, what about global illumination is causing the effect? In other words, what's going on in those images that allows people to understand better? That might be a really interesting question to sort of follow up.
So, I mean, there is a sort of maybe obvious possibility, which is when there is enough of a density that these objects can interact with each other, can sort of scatter from one to the next, that there's a visual glue throughout the volume, and that is improved as the density increases up to a point, and then you have occlusion to contend with.
Just one more question.
Jane Chen from Brown University. Very interesting work, but I wonder how do you know that people actually use the global illumination to answer your question rather than using other cues, like there are a lot of other cues. How can you control the scene that people can actually use this global illumination? So they are like occlusion cues. So how can you
Well, so they certainly could be using the occlusion cues, but if they were using something, if they're using something other than, let's say, perspective versus orthographic projection, then it has to be something that changes between the two because performance was shown to change. So the thing that they're using, we haven't evaluated what that thing is, but that thing is present or not depending on the level of some variable. And our variables are projection and illumination because they were able to do the task better in one case than the other. I can't tell you the mechanism that they were using. We tried to get at it, but didn't get enough data to say from eye tracking, say, yes, they were definitely using shadow X to do this answer and inner reflection Y to do that. We weren't able to collect enough data to do that.
Thank you.
All right, let's thank David and Chris again.